Hey, Eagle Rush Bible Fellowship, we're Conrad and Rachel, and we're so glad to be able to connect with you today. I grew up here in Coquitlam for pretty much the last 30 years or so. I've gone to several elementary schools, Walton, Panorama, Pine Tree Way, went to Pine Tree Secondary for high school, and I went to SFU for university, so it didn't really go very far. Rachel, on the other hand, is not from Coquitlam.
Yeah, I didn't grow up in Coquitlam. I grew up in Abbotsford, about 45 minutes away, on a raspberry farm. And so I have two younger sisters and a niece and a nephew in Abbotsford. And when we're allowed to, I do love going out to Abbotsford and visiting with my family. But I also really do enjoy living here in Coquitlam and starting to develop a community here.
I've been church planting here in my own hometown since several years ago. And part of what got me into it was a call to my neighbors. Rachel and I talk about the fact sometimes that I don't read a lot. Reading's not my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. So when I look at scripture, I look at, I just want the quick answers. Like, okay, what's the simplest thing? And I can't get past when Jesus says, the whole thing boils down to loving God and loving neighbors. So I started to just love my neighbors. And then I start to realize that we're in a climate in an area here where there are a lot of people in the quote unquote, I used to go to church crowd. And several of my friends who some I even give credit for part of my salvation are no longer connected with church.
When you say credit to giving them your salvation, they helped lead you to Christ.
See, that's why you get married. Yeah. But so that's... That led me to planting in our area, in my hometown, and it's been an incredible journey. And Rachel was gracious to not only marry, but can start be part of the journey with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have been part of this church planting mission for close to a year now, I guess, since we got married last summer. And I think... as I was just reflecting on what to share, I think what we do in our neighborhood is what anybody can do in their neighborhood. We love on our neighbors, and in COVID, it's looked different. Mm-hmm. Then hopefully it'll look like a year down the road. We look forward to when we can start to interact more in person with our neighbors. But we have a small, consistent group. We meet every Monday night. That's our church time with our group, and it consists of people who... are not yet believers, people that were not connected to a church and wanting to find that community. And then some that are also connected to other churches, but really hear the call as well and want to build in the community. And then just really reaching out to our neighbors and being intentional, whether that's bringing cookies to them, whether that's bringing a meal, whether that's hosting a games night for those that just want some connection. That's kind of what we do, kind of what it looks like. I would say it's intentionally trying to build community in our community with our neighbors. And the intentionality is wanting to share Christ with them and realizing that in order for them to be open to that message, there needs to be that established relationship. And so...
Mm-hmm. You know, I lone wolfed it when I was a single guy, and I've been blessed to the connection with my denominational family. But one of the things that we started to talk about even before we got married, about what married life would look like when it comes to a church community, being part of a church plant means we're the feeders. Mm-hmm. We're the people who invest in lives. And as newlyweds and having walked with several others in the marriage journeys in different parts of our ministries in the past several years, we know that it's important to be surrounded by community. And I've known Pastor Dave for a long time. I should say Dave Esau, because there are two of them. I lose track sometimes. But I just really appreciate the ministry that God has called him to lead at Eagle Ridge. And so when we got married and started to settle here, and whatever we're allowed to do and during COVID, we just decided to connect with Eagle Ridge. And so we're just so blessed to be able to connect and share today. So looking forward to just experiencing God with y'all, and let's take a look at what scripture has for us today. I've been really enjoying the series on living by the Spirit so far. And I especially caught on to what Pastor Dave said last week when he quoted, "We cannot possibly be real evangelicals until we celebrate Pentecost the way we do Christmas and Easter." It's definitely by the Holy Spirit that explains why we are who we are and believe who we believe. Because without the Holy Spirit, to the rest of the world, we are just purely following the teachings of a man who had once walked this earth. And there are plenty of people in history that people do follow. See, while Rachel grew up on a farm in Abbotsford with incredibly godly parents, I am so blessed to be their son-in-law. My parents were just as loving in their own cultural context. I was born in Hong Kong and moved here to Canada with my family as their only child at the age of 7. My dad was a self-made man who went through the Second World War, and his cultural belief is not only respecting your elders, which I wholeheartedly believe in, but almost borderline worshiping your elders. He would tell me to follow him, and he would make me not necessarily fishers of men, but the best man that I can be. And he would say things like he knew the way to success, much like many other religious figures in the world who would say they know the way. But you know, throughout most of our experiences in life, we often do go after the tried and tested methods, don't we? We like to know all the answers before we start, and we definitely don't want to go down too many roads that we don't know beforehand. See, in my culture growing up, it made sense to follow the teachings of your family because they have gone through it all. And in my case, I can't possibly know what it's like to live through a war with bombs dropping on you like my dad did during the Second World War. But Jesus's parting words to his disciples were not simply to stay in the comfort of their own homeland or surroundings or the business they know well. Luke recorded Jesus' last words in Acts 1:8 to call his disciples to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And most importantly, that's because the Holy Spirit is coming to them when they will receive the power from the Holy Spirit. See, his call to them and to all of us is not to function by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and follow his direction. And in fact, as I suggested earlier, that without the Holy Spirit, our belief in Jesus is no different than any other belief to follow any other person who had once lived on this earth. Think about it this way. When we share about Jesus, we are asking people to believe in the man who had died, who got buried in a tomb, and as we celebrate through Easter, rose again from the dead in 3 days. That's wacky. That's kind of like legend sounding. But the key to our faith is that Jesus is still alive. God is still alive, and he's functions by delighting us with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to hear him, to experience him, and have a relationship with him that is real and personal. Our scripture today comes from Acts in the latter part of chapter 8, where Luke recorded Philip's trip from his ministry in Samaria to Gaza. Now, going into this account, we had read earlier that Philip was doing so well in Samaria, and many people were coming to Jesus because of his ministry there. You talk about tried and tested. That was it. I'm sure he would have been pretty happy to stay there for many more years. And yet comes verse 26 in chapter 8. Let's take a look at this account. Luke writes in Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, he says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is the desert road. So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and join that chariot." And when Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter,
and as a lamb silent before its shears, he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? The eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who's the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else? Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When he came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now picture Philip here and what he just heard from the angel in the beginning of this passage. You may be doing a dream job right now, and you may be doing it very well. You may be pursuing a career right now that you dreamt of all your life. And maybe, just like Philip, you're in the ministry right now that you're really enjoying and you're seeing a lot of success, a lot of fruit with it. But what Philip heard here was to drop everything, take the longer route, which, by the way, there's a shorter and more traveled and paved and more direct route from Samaria to Gaza than the one that the angel called him to go on, the south one through Jerusalem and then the desert. And he was even told what was going to be there. Doesn't even sound make any sense, though, does it? But because of his relationship with the Holy Spirit, he went up and went. No questions asked. See, when I was university, I was pursuing a career in broadcasting. I was actually wanting to get into sportscasting specifically. 20 years later, I'm so glad that God took me out of it, because I see all the jobs is appearing right now. But at that point, it was my dream, and I was getting close to that dream. In my first year in university, though, I wasn't doing very well, and I was feeling miserable. I wasn't a believer at the time, but I remember my Christian friends in high school, and who had all these smiles on their faces. I really wanted to know why. And when I started to explore their faith, I realized where they were finding their joy, not through earthly success, but their trust in Jesus. So after I became a Christian, things were happening in my life. My one late claim to fame was that I spent a season in the Connects organization. I was getting close to my dream, and I thought, man, this is exactly why I became a Christian. But let's put my story to the side here for a second and see what's next for Philip. Because he was going on this journey, he saw an Ethiopian eunuch who was a higher official for the Queen of Ethiopia at the time. And he heard in him reading Isaiah. And so the scripture, or it's the Spirit, told him to go and say hi to him. And he did. It's kind of like when we're at some restaurant or some public place and we hear people talk about the Bible. And have you ever felt the nudge to say, hey, maybe I should go up and say hi too? Now, this wasn't just somebody, though. He was an Ethiopian eunuch who would have been somebody who did not look like Philip, because he was from Ethiopia. He would have sounded awkward, because to become a eunuch, he had to be castrated, which was a custom at the time. And so when Philip got there, the eunuch invited him to explain what was going on, because he had not heard about Jesus yet. He was just reading the prophet Isaiah. This eventually led to his baptism in the water as they both continued down the road, which again made absolutely no sense for Philip to be there to begin with, other than the fact that he was following the call of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the account from Luke ends here. There was no discussion what Philip did in Gaza. He did appear in Azotus on his way to Caesarea, which only leads us to conclude that God assigned Philip through the Holy Spirit on this journey through the longer road, just specifically for this one Ethiopian man. See, when we are with the Holy Spirit and we lean on his power and not our own understanding, we will do and follow God's dreams in ways that make absolutely zero sense. It means we're going to reach out to people who are different than us, who sound different than us. And it means it's going to take us away from our dreams to follow God's dreams. When I was dreaming to be a sportscaster and got so close to that, I was also getting more involved in church. I was also getting more involved in my home church. It led to a point where I actually got a study called Experiencing God by Henry and Richard Blackaby and Claude King. And that book changed my life. It's about literally experiencing the Spirit in your life. And that God desires a relationship with us through the Spirit that is real and personal. It started to really hit home to me. And I was like, man, this is great. And remember, life was going well on the other side. And so one day I was invited to be a part of a leadership team, and it was great. And we had dinner one time, and the keynote speaker was a man by the name of Richard Blackaby, the guy who wrote this book that changed my life. And I was ceremoniously late to this dinner gathering, and the only seat that was open was next to Richard. And so I sat there and I just listened to him, and I asked him so many questions. And if you know anything about me, sometimes I have a hard time asking questions, but this is a guy who I really wanted to ask a lot of questions about. And then he looked at me in the eyes and he said to me, "What's your dream, Conrad?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm pursuing this dream right now. It's really great. I hear God just telling me there's more." And then he started talking seminary. Not necessarily school for the purpose of getting a degree, but school for the purpose of following God's dream. And I nodded politely and I said, But then he looked me in the eyes and he said, "Conrad, there is no reason for you to wait." And pardon the language, the first two words in my head were, "Oh, crap." I could not believe that I just heard God tell me things are going to be different with me and you need to trust me now. I was dating a girl at the time and I was pursuing this dream, and I realized that no offense to the girl, but you know, this wasn't why I was in this relationship in the first place, to get into ministry. And I realized from that point on that God was saying to me, you need to drop a few things. Namely, you need to cut this relationship off. And most importantly, by the way, this dream of sports casting, put it aside. And I said, I'm too weak. Long story short, and within 2 weeks of telling God those two things I need his help on to get rid of, I lost the girl and I lost the job with the Canucks. And I basically said to God, "Okay, I'll do it. Don't take anything else. I'm so glad I only named two things that are in the way here." When we pursue God's dream over ours, it doesn't make any sense. And it's important for us to realize that He is going out there to call us into relationship with Him, to join Him, to what He is already doing, what He is working on. And He's working on our lives to be closer to Him, far beyond our comprehension. So I started to get in and studied and got into ministry. And then one day I was actually serving as an associate pastor at a church in Vancouver while living here in Coquitlam. And I remembered walking out one day and I looked at my city and I looked at the area, and I thought of those friends I mentioned earlier with Rachel, about the fact that some of them who were the very inspiration for me that God used to connect with Him are not going to church anymore. And I thought about the people that are in my community. You know the very thing about loving your neighbors? I always kid, but there's some truth to most jokes I make, that I don't care for reading too much. So when I'm looking at scripture, I just want to get down to the nitty gritty and like, tell me what I need to do. And God said to love God and love your neighbors through His son, Jesus. I said, okay, I love my neighbors. And I realized that I wanted to serve my community. So that's where planting began. And realizing that I love church, I love Eagle Ridge, I've grown to love you all, even in this distant time. And yet, there's something about the circumstances that we face today where a lot of people have walked away from church, have had bad experiences, have heard about bad experiences. And sometimes it means having to go after that lost one over the 99. See, the passage there,
what we realize is that Philip was called by God to go after that one guy, that one Ethiopian man. Looked different than him. There's no other reason other than the fact that God wanted that man to be with him. I always had that one in my life. And that one was my father. When I became a Christian, I realized I really wanted him to know Jesus. He had a hard time accepting it. See, he had a dream for me too. His dream was for me to get rich, to strike rich, to get famous, to go get all the education in the world, like any good Chinese kid would. And despite of the prayer and the circumstances and the things that we tried and then we prayed over him, I had people who prayed for my dad over and over again, it seemed to get nowhere. Until he got a sudden terminal diagnosis at the age of 85. All of a sudden, his will, my dad's will, and his power, and his knowledge of life couldn't answer the question of death. And we had people praying, going after this one in my life. And I'm ashamed to say, though, that there were times in that month and a half between the terminal diagnosis and the day he passed away that I thought, maybe this is just not going to happen. Maybe this is his stubbornness was just going to get him. But then one night we spent time with him. We thought we were going to lose him that night. And I picked up the phone and called a pastor emeritus at a Chinese church that's a good friend of mine. And I said, I need your help. And he came. He was a pastor of 1,000 people, more than that probably. He took the time to come and to spend time with my dad. And that night he gave his life to Jesus. 3 weeks before he passed away, a night before his cognitive level, my dad's cognitive level, because of what the cancer was doing to him, disappeared. That one. Here's my question for us today. Who's your one? Who's that somebody that requires you and requires us, maybe as collectively, as a community, to drop everything we're doing, even if it's successful? Even if we're in the mix of success in our lives. See, God cares for that one. And he requires people to follow his spirit to leave sometimes what we know in order to go after. For us and for Rachel, it was to leave what she knows as a steady church family in Abbotsford to come marry a guy who is planting a church and can sometimes barely get two people on the screen. Lately, God's been blessing us with a steady group of people to connect with us, but sometimes it's sitting in front of a Zoom call looking at ourselves. What is it that God is calling you to do through his Holy Spirit that requires us to go down a road that doesn't make any sense? And the destination is nothing to be glamorous about, but it's the journey, as the old saying goes, that matters. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Philip. We thank you for calling Philip to go on this road, to teach us that we are following you to go after people who don't know you. Even if it's people who don't look like us, don't sound like us, they may be richer and have all the things in the world, and yet they don't have you. Father, we know that the call is not necessarily to abandon what we have today, but challenge us to even ask that. Help us seek you and ask, what is it that you want us to do, Father? What is it that you want us to give up, Father, in order to pursue you to actually be fisher of men and women? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.